Let me share one little thought here. This is the mini preaching before the mega preaching here. Every morning at camp, we have what is called flagpole devotions, and it's very simply that. We meet at the flagpole, do our pledges, and then have a little devotional. And one morning, I think it was the last morning that we had the flagpole devotions, Brother Bachman got up and he shared a thought. And the thought was simply this: how to have camp when you're not at camp. Because a lot of times you make these great decisions at camp, but then you go home and you're home. You're not at camp anymore. You're at camp for 4 days or 5 days, and that's it. And, you know, we had 10 young people go to camp, but there's a lot of young people that didn't go to camp. There were 12 of us that went to camp, but there's 125 of us in here that didn't go to camp. So I want to share those four thoughts with you very, very quickly. But, you know, you can have these same incredible decisions without ever going to camp. And that's why it really hit me hard. It's not exactly what he shared with us, but it's the same basic idea. Let me share them super quick with you. What is it about camp or being at camp that helps you to make these decisions? Number one, it's the people. It's the people that you're around. It's not the camp director that makes camp. It's not being around the camp director. It's not the camp cook that makes camp. The camp food's great, but it's not the camp cook that makes camp. It's not the camp staff that makes camp. You know what really helps make camp really special? It's being around other Christians. It's the friends, the good, godly friends that you're around. Hey, you want to make good decisions for God? You want to live godly? Check out who you're hanging around with. Who are your friends? Right. Who are your friends? We live in a day and age, and I'm meddling a little bit, but I get to leave here in a couple seconds. We live in a day and age when technology is rampant, and, you know, Facebook friends. Who are your Facebook friends?
Right.
Are they uplifting you to live more godly or not? Anyway, moving along, who are the people you hang around with? Because people make camp, right? They help you make decisions for God. Are the people you hang around with and spend time with influencing you to be more godly or less godly? Because they're going to do one or the other. There's no neutrality in your friendships. There's none. And by the way, the other thought there is, what are you doing to influence the people you hang around with? Anyway, let's move along here. How about the preaching? The preaching. You know, if you're here at church every service that the doors are open, you've got at least four services a week to hear preaching of the Word of God. At camp, we have Monday night, we have Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night. So what do we have, seven services? Okay, you have at least four every week here. You've almost got a full camp week of services right here at Berean Baptist Church. If you want more, I'm sure we tape them, record them, you get them online. You could have eight services a week if you want to listen to them. You can have as much preaching as you want. There's good services, there's good sites online that you can download some good preaching, good godly preaching. You can fill your ears with as much good godly preaching as you want, if you want it. What are you listening to? Preaching from the Word of God is going to change your life. If you want it, you can get it. And you can get it for free. Anyway, enough meddling, but if you want to have the camp atmosphere and see the camp-type decisions, you got to have the right people. You also got to have the right preaching. But secondly, how about the purity?
Right.
The purity. See, at camp, there's no cell phone signal. We're deep in the woods. We are deep in the woods. There's no internet signal down there. There's no TV. There's no movies. We don't allow the kids to be reading books down there except for the Bible. We get their schedule chock full of activity and different things. So they're not filling their minds and they're not letting things pass before their eyes of things that are impure. There's a dress code, not because we think that certain rules are going to make you pure, but they're going to help you to live more pure.
Right.
They are. And they're going to help guys not see things they don't want to see.
Right.
And if guys want to see it, they're not going to be allowed to see it. And ladies, you're going to live in a way that is going to allow you to live so that you present yourself as valuable as God made you to be. There's purity.
Amen.
At camp. Are you living pure? What did you watch this week? I can testify at least Monday evening through Friday, these kids didn't watch anything.
Right.
They didn't see any movies.
Amen.
They didn't read any books except for the Bible that I know of. Maybe that's why there were some big decisions made. I don't know. It's quite possible. If you want to see decisions like this all the time, maybe these last three things that I talked about, if we implement them in our lives, we'll see a lot more decisions like this. This doesn't have to be a once-a-year thing. Last thing he talked about was the practices. The practices at camp. See, every day we build into the schedule of camp a quiet time with God. They call it time alone with God. It's half hour a day, where that is all that the kids are allowed to do, is spend time alone with God. And we make sure that's what they're doing. Now, we don't know their heart, but we can make sure that physically they have their Bible, they are alone, there's no music playing, there's no talking with friends, there's no messing around on the cell phone, there's nothing else going on except them, their Bible, that's it, and quietness. It's time alone with God. There's prayer, there's Bible reading. There's practices that help cultivate the soil for God to do some work. Is it any wonder that God then can help these decisions be made when we have those right practices? There's no wonder, is there? There's no wonder. And that was basically the outline. He didn't say everything I said, obviously, but that was basically the four words that he used. And I thought, man, I can't wait to get back and share that because I know it's going to be such a blessing for our folk. But you know what? Over the last 3 days, God really hit me with one more. One more. And I just couldn't get away from it. You know what I think maybe is even the biggest reason why at camp and conferences we see decisions like this made? I think the biggest reason is because there's a preparedness. There's a preparedness. We expect something to happen. Amen. When we go to camp. We build it up. We're ready. We know. June 8th, we're going to camp. People come up, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the kids. I'm praying God will do something in their life. We know there's a service Monday night. We know there's a service Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night. We know there's seven services, and we're going to be praying that God will speak to the kids and speak to the adults. We know that, and we're praying for it. Guess what? There's a service tonight. Amen. In 3 minutes, when I get out of here and Pastor gets up here and he opens the Bible and he prays and he starts preaching from the Word of God, you know what? I have been to probably hundreds of camp services and conference services. We have never had a speaker better than our own pastor. Never, ever had a speaker better. Never. But most of the time, we're more prepared to hear and we expect better things when we go there. Did you pray this week that God would do something in your young person's heart at Sunday school this morning? Did you pray that God would do something in your heart this morning in Sunday morning service or tonight? See, a lot of times when we go to conferences and camp, and we've got another conference coming up, by the way, July 14th through the 16th, Hammond Conference. You'll have information on that sign-up sheet next week. I encourage you to go. More preaching. It's a great time. And we're going to be praying for it. And we're going to be expecting great things to happen. And great things are going to happen. But we don't have to wait till July 18th or 19th, whatever that Sunday is, to hear testimonies of how God worked in our young people's lives. See, we can pray that God will do something in our young people and in our lives tonight. Right now. In fact, maybe it's a real good idea when we come down here just to take 30 seconds of quiet time and just say, God, would you just speak to our hearts tonight? We're here for a reason. We're here on purpose. Our problem is a lot of times we go to camp and we expect good things. We're ready to receive something good, but we go to church and we're ready to go home. And that's probably why most of the time, it's only once or twice a year we hear these great testimonies. Young people, I am so proud of you for the decisions you made. But let's not let it be just once a year. Amen. You're dismissed. Amen.
Good preaching, Matt. Most of you know Brother Barnum was in a car accident years ago and had a brain injury that has kept him from being on our staff any longer. He is one of our deacons, And I can say that when he's on, he's on. And that was on. That was great observation. And I can only think as I was thinking of Captain. Captain has been in our church now for the last school year, and went back to Thailand. And he was an exchange student, came here, stayed with the Shawvers. And I've watched Captain all this time. He listens. He's listening to preaching. It's hard for him. It's hard for him to understand English. And it is amazing that that young man spent his last week in America at camp. Now, you know, again, you have to understand, he may never come back to America. He may never sit under preaching again. But he sat under preaching his last week in America at a Baptist camp where he heard the truth, service after service after service. And you need to pray for him. As far as we know, he did not trust Christ as Savior at camp, but he has heard it. He's heard it for a year, and he heard it at camp. And the last memory he has of the United States of America is an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church camp. And praise the Lord for that. And he was under that atmosphere that Brother Varnum talked about. And Jenny, did you want to say something? Yes. Yes, we got Captain a Bible, and he has that with him. And it's the first time he's ever heard the gospel when he came here. And so praise the Lord for that. But again, the thing Brother Varnum said that I really like, I liked it all, but preparation. You know, and I say this all the time, what do you expect out of church? What do you expect? Seriously. You know, here's the thing. We're going to have a great 2 weeks. We're especially, our vacation Bible school with our children is known all over the area. And it is known to us as we're going to see a lot of children get saved. We know that. We're not only going to see a lot of children get saved, we're going to see a lot of children get baptized. We know that's going to happen. But it isn't happening by accident. Are you listening? Look, hours and hours and hours of preparation and prayer and effort. And what he said, we're expecting it. Don't we expect it? Come on. You'll be shocked if that first night of children's Bible school, you'll be shocked if nobody comes down to the aisle. You'll be shocked if nobody comes forward. You'll be amazed. It'd be like, but you know what it's going to be? They're going to flood the aisle. They're going to come down those aisles. They're going to come down the middle aisle. They're going to come here to the front, and soul winners are going to meet them here, and they're going to take them downstairs, and they're going to show them how to know for sure they're going to heaven. And you expect it. Why wouldn't we expect that every service? Same God. Amen. Amen. Same Bible. Do you understand the fair ministry? We know. Kathy's already expecting it, right? You know you're gonna lead people to Christ in the fair. You know that. That's all she cares about. Other people want to know, well, are they going to have the big trucks? Are they going to have the, the fast cars? Are they going to have my favorite singer? You know? Really? But anyway, but what Kathy's expecting is I'm going to have people get saved. Amen. But why is that? Well, she expects that. But it doesn't happen accidentally. It happens because somebody's planning it and somebody's praying. And lots of people are praying and begging God to do something. And then we're saying, oh, I'll go. I'll stay. I'll serve Kool-Aid. I'll go hand out flyers. I'll tell people about Jesus. I'll sit at a table and go through the plan. And do you understand that can happen every week? Do you realize that there are people in Adrian that are not saved, that will get saved? If you'll go, knock on their door, go to the park, come out here to our playground during the week and just tell people how to be saved. And you know, it's sad that we don't expect God to do something. it's sad that we'll put all this effort into 1 week or 2 weeks, and we'll know that God's going to do something great. But week after week after week, we have our services, we have our master clubs, we have all these opportunities, and you know, we never think about, well, God, speak to me. Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we want God to do something in our lives? Why wouldn't we want, as I preached this morning, the heavens to open and God to pour out blessings on me? And why wouldn't we want him to do that to our... Isn't it amazing that we'll say, you know what? I'm going to pray for your kids while they're at camp. I'll pray for you young people while you're at camp. How about while they're at home? How about when they're at home and mom and dad want to turn on HBO and the kids are just there? Years ago, I said that stands for hell's bad odor. It's worse today. I'm just saying, you know what? We ought to expect. I always go back to that evangelist, Brother Dan Hawtrey. How many of you ever heard Dan Hawtrey besides me? Several folks have. Brother Hawtrey, just an old-fashioned country preacher. And I had him come to preach a revival at our church in Bern, Indiana. And Brother Hawtrey, I met him at the airport, and he said, "Let's pray." And we prayed right there in the area where all the people were gathered. And he prayed, and his prayer, he said, "I pray with a spirit of expectancy." And immediately God convicted me. Because here's a guy coming to our church, and he was expecting something. He was expect. What do you expect? You know what? You get what you expect. Well, you're going to have a broken arm is what you're going to have. But what do you expect? What do you expect God to do in your life? What do you expect? What a great challenge. Let's all bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. What are you expecting? What do you expect? Well, when the kids go to camp, I expect God to do something great. How about when you come to church? How about when you come to Sunday school? What do you expect? What do you expect God to do at Vacation Bible School in your life? What do you expect? What do you want God to do this week in your family's life? What do you expect? Who do you hang around with? Who are your friends? Iron sharpeneth iron. Who do you sharpen? How much alone time did you spend with God saying, "God, do something in my life. What do you want to happen?" How many tonight would say, "Preacher, God's speaking to my heart right now. Pray for me."